Going to go ahead and record.
Good.
So those of you that are on with us tonight, this is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we're talking about just writing in general. Our speaker tonight, our presenter, is Roy Bradshaw from the UK, and he is having some computer problems trying to get on. And so we're going to give him a moment because he's all the way over in the UK, so I can't really help him a lot. I'm in the state of Florida. I'm in Sarasota area. And I have just published, for those of you that were listening into our conversation before we started recording, I've just published my first collaborative effort. There were 20 authors, and we got together with a publisher that had the vision, and we each basically just told our story. So it was an easy write for me because I only had to write my story. I didn't have to sit down and create this entire book from start to finish. And for any of you that are in the audience, which I'm sure there are some that either have published or would like to be published, you know what an overwhelming task that feels like when you're looking at the blank page and you're thinking, I'm going to write a book. And so I like to tell folks when they ask, they go, how in the world did you get connected to a collaborative type process? And I say this kind of jokingly, but I'm very serious, is I simply saw that train going by and I decided to get on. Because when the author, the original author, the gal that had the brainchild of having this collaborative effort, when she and her publisher friend decided to put this together and they started marketing it, as a collaborative effort. And so it would be, you know, easy to jump on and be a part of that. I just decided it was time because, you know, the best laid plans, you know how that goes. I've always told myself for several years, you know, I'm going to actually, you know, write a book someday and I'm going to be published someday. I even have a little pin on my jacket that says future author. And I've worn that for a couple of years, you know, to try to remind myself and, you know, just to put that positive energy out there that, yes, I am going to be an author and I'm going to write a book. So when this opportunity came up, I decided, you know, I just needed to get on that train as it was going by, because I thought if I don't, at the end of the day, that book is going to get published. And that, and she promised, and one of the things that she promised in her marketing material was that it would at least be number one in one or two categories. And I thought, you know, that book is going to get published and then I'm going to kick myself for not jumping on board, because I'm going to say, you know, I could have been one of those collaborative authors. So I didn't really know early on even what the title of the book was going to be. But I love both of the gals that were putting this together. I knew their heart. I knew they were heart-centered. I knew that you know, they wanted something that would be uplifting. They wanted something that would help folks. They wanted something that would help everyone take their next best step, whatever that would be for them. And so when I saw that they were putting this together, and finally the title came out, and the title is called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. And so I thought, well, now how am I going to fit in with that title? So that also was a concern. But then when the instructions came down through Google Docs, which is how the publisher and also editor wanted us to write in Google Docs, she gave us the instructions in a Google Doc form that said, here's what I want you to write. Here's how I want you to write it. Here's how many words I want you to have. Here's the font I want you to use. Here's the spacing I want you to have. So that when she got back all of this work from these collaborative effort group, because there were 20 of us, that it would have some continuity for her so that she did not have to sit down and basically edit even fonts or indentations. So all of that we did as we were writing. And then for those of you that have used Google Docs, you may or may not know that you can share your Google Doc with several folks. And so she asked us to share our Google Doc back with her. And then she could actually make comments in the margins of the Google Doc. And so she did her content editing first. She didn't worry about punctuation or verbiage. She just was concerned about content on the first go. And so she just made comments, you know, could you basically beef up this paragraph, or could you take away a little on that paragraph? Could you make this paragraph, a little more direct or a little more understanding, and just in content in general, because she wanted it to flow, of course, like a complete book, you know, all the way through. And so once I made those changes, of course, it was shared back with her. She could tap in at any time and look at the Google Docs as they came back into her inbox. Then she went on through the process and she said, I promise you, she said, it will be a wonderful read when we get to the other end. She said, I will put the paragraphs, the stories in order so that there is continuity with all of you. Because she had no idea what our story even was.
Wow.
When we started writing. So she made it an actually cohesive read. And I tell you what, when I finally got my first copy in my hand, you know, like, wow, this is my book. When I got my first copy in my hand, oh, here's Roy. Let me click him through. And we'll promote him up here. So he is now on. So we'll talk for just a minute more. But when I got my first copy, I could not put down the book because of all of the other chapters. The stories were just, and we hadn't read each other's stories before publication. And so when I was finally able to read the other stories, I couldn't put it down. It's a very powerful book. It's very inspirational. So for any of you that are out there listening and you think you need some inspiration to write, then touch base with maybe a publisher that's doing a collaborative effort, because what it does is it reduces your amount of work, but yet it still gets you published and it gets you out there on Amazon. And of course, I now have an author account on Amazon. And so I feel like I have finally arrived after so many years. So anyway, so that's just a little bit about me and my book that I've just launched, and it's doing very well. And so again, Sandy, thank you so much for asking.
Sure.
And Roy, we were just chatting a bit about publishing and my book that just got published. And so welcome, Roy. I explained to the group that you had a little bit of a technical problem jumping on, but you are here. So welcome.
I am. And yeah, a technical problem. What a time to have a technical problem.
You know, now for those that are listening, I do have to share, because if I don't know the aspirations that folks have that are in the audience on where you want to take your writing and whether you want to turn it into a business and do some public speaking or whatever, wherever it is that you're going to go. And of course, when you publish a book, a lot of times you end up doing some public speaking type things, because that's how you can promote yourself, just like Roy is here today and like I'm here and Sandy is here. Yeah. And so I just want to say, we arrived in Florida from Ohio, which is only a couple of hour plane flight on the big jet, a lot longer if you're in a small plane, and maybe, oh gosh, 19 hours if you're driving, just to give everybody an idea of the distance I am away from home. Well, Hurricane Ian came through about an hour south of us here in Florida. Sandy was just asking me about that earlier. So we didn't get a lot of damage, but it had knocked out all of our Wi-Fi service here in the Sarasota area. And so my first call was at noon on Monday, because I have about 8 of these a month that I do. And on my first call, I couldn't get on. I had no Wi-Fi. And I realized I had forgotten my mouse, and I was getting ready to do a presentation where I was going to actually do a show and tell, and I was going to share my screen and show how to, you know, it was a call for newbie bloggers on how to monetize a blog. And so I was going to show them how to do that and how to link and how to do all and how to get, you know, affiliate links and all of that. And I didn't have a mouse. And of course, any of you that worked on a laptop know that it's more difficult when you're using that little pad in the middle of your laptop to scroll around. So I sent Mark out to get me a mouse at a close by office supply store. And I got on the phone to our Wi-Fi provider, and he had to reboot the whole Wi-Fi. And I had 6 minutes before my call, I was finally ready. So Roy, I understand, because I just went through that on Monday, just yesterday.
Yeah, you may understand, but it's still very, very frustrating. Very frustrating. Considering that I've been using my computer practically all day, and the time that it decides not to want to work is the important time of the day. Anyway, let me tell you a little bit about my books, huh?
Yes. I want to just share a little bit with the group. Now, Roy is life trained in engineering and teaching at both primary and secondary levels. That's helped him gain inspiration for writing in his middle age. Now, I wouldn't consider you in your middle age. You look amazing. Perhaps it was the hectic working life needed to bring up a stepson and two other sons. There you go. That disallowed the time for him to write earlier, but the propensity has always been there. So teaching English at the primary level, seeing at first hand the joy and understanding a good, exciting adventure or a fun story can bring to a young mind is something that's constantly in his mind when writing stories for children. So he continues to learn and he strives to better his work every day in the hope of someday inspiring others to also write. So welcome, Roy. How long have you been writing? Were you writing when you were still working early on?
Yeah. I worked a lot in industry and I wrote a lot there, you know, wrote a lot of technical stuff, you know, specifications and instructions and stuff like that. So my writing really goes back all the way to when I was 12 or 13 at school. You know, I used to write my own lyrics to the popular songs that were in the picture box at the time, you know, and often they were quite rude. And so just to make often to make my mates laugh, you like, you know, I got in trouble with the teachers for that.
But, I love it.
Yeah. I've been, I wrote a few adult, a bit of adult stuff, but that was just really to sort of, see whether I could do it, really.
And
I found out that I can. So I decided to write some children's books. And I started in earnest, really, probably about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Sticking down manuscripts. And I came up. I write in series, you see. I have an idea and I'll write several books about that sort of idea. The first one here is Barley's Biscuit.
Okay.
A series called Barley's Biscuit. I've written and published three of those. I've written 12 of them, as a matter of fact.
But
I've published three of them. I'll give you a little example of what they look inside. Look like inside, you know, they're fully illustrated.
Very nice.
And they are aimed at down to 2 years old, really, for a bedtime story, because they're fully illustrated. But for self-reading between 4 and 7 years old, I would say. And these are about a couple of border collie dogs who are very clever. They problem solve. They find problems that they are on their big countryside walks with their human friend called Mick. And they always come across a problem which nobody else ever gets to know about. They solve the problem without anybody else knowing. So they become the unsung heroes. And as I say, I've written a dozen of those and I have published three of them. Now, I've also written something called Mr. Bee's Busy Bee. That's another series.
This
one is a Christmas story. I've written four of them so far, and I've released this one now. It should be with Amazon in a couple of days' time. And I'll get my stock delivered on Monday. And this is about Mr. Bee is a teacher. So you can see that he's broadly based on my experiences.
I love that. I was going to ask where you get your ideas for your characters. And of course, I can understand that a lot of it comes from your own experiences as a primary and secondary level teacher.
Yeah, this one does in particular, because probably about 12 years ago, when I was a primary school teacher teaching 7-year-old kids, my son at the time went to one of those places where you're supposed to get a happy meal. And he wasn't very happy because he got a little toy bee in there. He didn't like that much. So I took it to school with me and I got my class, motivated my class by saying to them, you can take that home for the weekend, write a little story about it, whatever you do, you go swimming, you go to the park or wherever you've gone, and come back into the class on Monday and tell everybody about it, you know. And that's where, that's the idea, that's the crux of the idea of this. This series of books, Mr. Bee's Busy Bee. His toy fluffy bee has magical powers. Bee colonies around the world get into some sort of problems, and they go on adventures with the lucky student that gets this toy at the end of the month. You can see. You can see it's a very, very nice, very nice bee.
Yes, yes. One is going to be on Amazon here in just a few days. Now, how many books are in that series?
I have written 4 so far. Now, what I want to do with that is base it on a school year. So there'll probably be about 10 of them in the end. But I've written 4 at the moment. The other 3 are in manuscript form. And this one is a Christmas edition. It's a Christmas story. I've released that now.
Okay. Now, how about the illustrations? Do you do your own illustrations?
No.
Okay. How does that work for you? We have authors and wannabe authors on the call. So we have folks that are interested in how you do your illustrations. How do you get those done? What is your thought process?
Okay. So what I tend to do is I will write a sentence or two in a spot in the manuscript where I think an illustration should go. And I'll say a little bit about what I want in that illustration. But it's not me completely, it's teamwork. Well, I expect my illustrators to come back to me and say, well, something like, perhaps it'd be better here, or better if you add this little bit, or don't add that little bit, you know. So it's a sort of collaboration with my illustrators.
Okay. Now, what sort of research do you do for your books?
I did two types of research for the Busy Bee books, because these are set in local beauty spots around me, where I live, in Ironbridge, which is in the heart of Shropshire, in the heart of England. It's a beautiful place. We've got lots of history, we've got lots and lots of countryside walks, plenty of places to go. So I'll go to these places and I'll take my photographs and I'll imagine the storyline in these areas. So primary research there, but I do a little bit of secondary research as well to add in some historical facts or stuff like that in the books. So they are educational as well.
Yeah. So again, your age group is, as for story time, they could be read to younger children, but for readers, they fall in about what, is age 7, maybe?
Up to age 7, the Barley's Biscuit, but this one, Busy Bee, this one can go to a 10-year-old, because it's about 10,500 words. There's a lot of reading in that. But the others, the Barley's Biscuit's about 3,000 words, so, you know, 20 minutes of reading. Whereas Busy Bee is probably 45 minutes of reading, you know.
Now, do you wish you'd done this earlier?
Oh, blimey, yes, of course. But things happen in life, you know. Girls come along and interesting things come along, and then children come along, and, you know.
And then, of course, jobs and careers come along.
Yeah, all of these things take money, and so, you know. Although I had all this writing as a dream in my head all of those years, I had to pay the bills, unfortunately, and feed my children, unfortunately.
Now, did you always want to write children's books, or had you? Because for me, I just decided early on that I wanted to write, and I really hadn't even come up with where I wanted, you know, what I wanted to write about or even what genre I wanted to write about. I just knew that I loved writing. So did you already know?
No. And I still don't, in all honesty. I love to read children's books. About 12 years ago, when I was a primary school teacher for 3 or 4 years, We did a lot of story writing. And I had a good knack for that. So yeah, I can take that on. But I also do poetry. I write a lot of poetry.
Okay.
And I can write adult stuff as well. Stephen King is a big favorite author of mine. So I can sort of mirror myself on him, his type of writing. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, jump in if you have any questions. For those that are in the audience, again, this is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we're talking to Roy Bradshaw. And please put your questions in the chat, and we'd be happy to ask those and get some answers for you. And so let's talk a little bit about the publishing process. Because again, we have a lot of writers and would-be writers and folks that are maybe, you know, thinking they want to start writing and get published at some point. And we may have some folks in the audience that are already published. If you're already published, put in the chat that you're already published, or just put in the chat that you are a wannabe writer, that you're not published yet. So give us an idea of who you are in the chat. And Roy, when you first started and you had your first manuscript, what is your thought process and how did you go about thinking, I think I want to publish this, and how did you finally find the process that works for you?
Okay, well, I knew absolutely nothing at all, full stop, about the process of publishing. And I, in the last 4 years or 5 years, I've learned a hell of a lot. You know, I've turned into a businessman, which I really didn't want to do. I just wanted to write a little book for children, you know, to give them a bit of fun. I tried along the lines of getting a literary agent, but they are absolute gold dust, you know. And I'm an unknown writer, really, so they you can understand if they don't want to take that chance in life. I looked at self-publishing the one in the middle, which is a publishing service, and that's the route that I took in the end.
Okay.
So I buy a publishing service, I buy an editing service. Just like I buy the illustrations as well, you know, and then put it all together and turn it into a book and publish it that way.
Okay, so the publishing service, they do your cover design, or do you have to submit all of that? Do you have to do the work and submit it to the publishing service, or do they do some of that for you?
Little bits. I had a different publisher for Barley's Biscuit than I have for Mr. B's Busy Bee. The second publisher that I'm using now is a lot more friendly, a lot more active, a lot more helpful, put it that way, than I found in my first publishing service. They would put together the book, they would design the layouts, they would design the front cover and the back cover from the illustrations that I submit to them. And then the rest is up to me, basically. They would upload it to Amazon, put it on the Nielsen database, stuff like that. But that would be it, you know, they'd stop there. Anything to do with promotion or marketing, it's all down to me.
Okay. And we were just talking earlier before you actually tapped through about me being in a collaborative type project where our book actually launched a little over a month ago and we were number one in several categories. And my publisher, like yours, is kind of in the middle. I looked at self-publishing. I looked at using an actual publisher, and this gal is kind of in the middle, but she did a little more because she did some of the marketing and put together some of those meetups and book launches and that sort of thing. But you're having to do all of that on your own.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah. I buy the services. I buy a PR service. I pay for it. So the launch is a sort of, but this publisher that I've got now with Mr. B's Busy Bee, like you just said, he's a little bit more active. He's a little bit more helpful. He's got more contacts in the media because he's from the media himself.
Okay.
So he was a senior editor at a newspaper.
Okay.
Before he brought on his own business, in which he publishes books as well. You know, he does have several other things as well in his business, but he publishes books as well. So.
Well, interesting. And I found that works best for me. And I'm assuming that you've decided that works best for you to just pay for somebody to do that portion for you. Because again, we can try to wear all the hats, but I find that I don't do as well on the areas that I'm not as versed in. And so it's better for me to just pay someone. But then finding someone that's in the right price range, of course, is another whole second conversation. I'm looking at our chat, and Maria is not published, but she's writing her second book. So congratulations, Maria, you're writing your second one. Leslie is not published yet, but she is working on her manuscript. Leslie, is this the first manuscript for you? Please put that in the chat. It may be, because she said she's working on a manuscript. So interesting. I love that. She said, yes, this is her first manuscript. So Sandy, you said you were published, but you have been published a while back. Now, did you self-publish or did you use?
No, this was self-publishing wasn't something that was really done a lot at that time. And everybody has a story and it's so important to be in community. And I would like to ask you about if you're in a writer's group, if you talk with other writers and how you communicate with them, because it happened that one of my good friends that we first met at a writer's conference, and she's a freelance writer, so she'll write anything for almost anybody who's willing to pay her. And someone had asked, a company had asked her if she would write a book about George W. Bush, who became president way back then. And she was too busy. So she recommended me. And I too was a teacher, and I taught teenagers. Mm-hmm. And in a whole summer, I did all the research I needed and then wrote it throughout the year. So community is really interesting on who knows you, who do you know, and how you get tapped into that. So that's how it started for me.
Yeah.
So are you in writers groups, or do you know other writers?
I don't. I know a few writers like me, which, you know, I call myself an amateur writer, really. I'm not I'm a professional. Yes, what's my published works are professionally published. There's no two ways about that. But you know, I'm not a known established writer, if you know what I mean. I just love to do it. It's a great, great hobby for me. That's the main part, in all honesty, as I go through my life. I'm on Facebook writers groups, and I'm in regular contact with those, and I get quite a lot of feedback from those, mm-hmm. which is very, very useful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm learning. I'm meeting more and more people as I go out into the community and try to sell my books. Mm-hmm. And the likes of you people here, you know, it's fantastic to get to know other people. But you know, I'm starting from a low base of knowing no one and knowing not what to do, except I can write a bit. so you know. I'm learning every single day, and I want to learn more as I go along.
What have you learned about yourself since you started doing this project?
I've learned that I can build a website. I didn't know that.
Okay.
I've learned that I can market books. I had no idea I could do that. Mm-hmm. I learned I can promote. I've learned I can communicate a lot better. I can go out and I can become a salesman. I didn't know I could do that. If you'd have said that to me 5 years ago, you know, I couldn't sell anything to anybody. all of these things, you know, it's a big overall thing, you know. It's not just the writing the book and then just throwing it up the corner and forgetting about it. You got to get it out there and talk to people and promote and, you know, public relations, this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you, when you're writing, does it just kind of all come at you and you're all and you get excited and can't wait to get it down on paper? Or do you schedule the time every day to sit down and do you have a writing time?
Oh,
like
you
know.
I don't have a writing time. It just, if there's nothing on the telly, which is very often these days, you know, I'll sit down and I'll write. But I have to be in a certain mood, you know. If I'm writing poetry, it'll probably come from a dream that I had the night before. You know, I'll have something in my head that just itches to come out, and it's got to come out. But I'll just blurb it out. I'll blurb, blurb, blurb. It'll all come out in a big however many pages, and then I'll stick it in the drawer, and I'll look at it in a month's time, and then one of two things will happen. I'll say to myself, that's a load of rubbish. Why have you written that? Or a picture will come into my head and as I'm reading, the picture will change like a film, you know? And that's pretty well what happened with this, with Mr. B's Busy Bee. I wrote that. That's 10,000 words. It's a lot of words for a children's book. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at it, you know, a picture came into my head. And as I read on, the disjointedness of the pictures wasn't that great, so I could edit that and get the story to flow quite easily. Yeah, so sometimes they come nicely like that. Other times I have to work a little bit harder to get the story to flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I understand what you're saying about flow. Maria says she's not in a writer's group. Maria, I want to encourage you to definitely check in with us every month. We're here every month, this particular Tuesday of the month at 6 o'clock, and we have a different author on every month. So please connect with us. And Sandy, I'm going to let her tell a little bit about her writer's group, which is a great group to connect with. But I do want to say first about writing. I don't know about those of you that are listening, but sometimes when I try to sit down and write, it just doesn't come. And then when I finally go out to take a walk, the story just kind of runs around in my head, and it flows very well when I'm not under pressure to put it on paper. And so I've discovered a little hack that works for me, and I'll toss it out here in case it might help anyone else that's listening, is I've realized that I can have Google Docs on my smartphone. And when I tap open a brand new Google Doc, where you're going to start to type, my keyboard comes up just like you're going to text or email on your from your phone. And there's a little microphone in the corner of your keyboard. And if you, Maria says artist way says walking is essential. Yes, I agree. And so when I tap on that little microphone in the corner of my keyboard, I can actually just start talking. And I don't try to edit any of my thoughts. I just tell the story and what I'm thinking. And then because it saves it on a Google Doc, I can sit down in front of my computer later on. Again, like Roy, I like to just leave it for a few days. And then when I come back to it, I can then edit it. And sometimes, like Roy, I'll read through it and go, okay, that really isn't going to go anywhere. But sometimes I read it and I go, that could be the basis of a great little story. I need to save that one and embellish that, you know, as the thoughts come to me. So anyway, that's a perfect way to get started if you're having what they call writer's block. That's a great way to just kind of talk it out. Just take a walk all by yourself and click on your Google Docs on the microphone and just talk to your smartphone. Now, people walking on the trail passing you might think you're a little weird, but they'll just think maybe you're on a phone call to somebody. So anyway, so that's just a little hack that I like to use. I would like for Sandy, tell us a little bit about your writer's group. And for those of you that are listening in, this is an opportunity for you to connect with a writer's group. I don't know, put in a chat where you're from. I'm Columbus, Ohio, normally. And of course, Roy is in the UK. And I'll let Sandy tell where she is and what she's doing with her writer's group. And then for those of you listening, put in the chat where you're located. Sandy, go ahead.
Yes, I'm in Springfield, Ohio, not too far from Columbus. It's between Columbus and Dayton, Ohio, approximately. My group is a workshop. So the folks come every year, they change all the time, sizes change. I've been doing it since 2018 with the big interruption during COVID. And I have different authors come in every year. And it's interesting because I'll have two or three, but all the folks stay in the same room all weekend. So I have to make sure that whatever the author, his or her background, can speak to everybody. And in a sense, we all, a story is about the same. There are some big differences here and there, but overall about the same. But what is nice is it's an opportunity for other writers and aspiring writers to get together and talk, because now they have a shared experience. They're listening to something, someone talk about how the theme of a story can really market your book, that maybe that is the angle you should start with when you have an idea. Like, oh, how about like a Cinderella story? I could do that. We have the rags to riches. And now when folks, we eat together if they like to, otherwise the town of Yellow Springs, Ohio is quite an interesting place to wander. And I give a 2-hour break for lunch so you can wander, or we can stay in the room and have the restaurant and the hotel serve us there. But the conversations start. And I have something at 7, to those who are lovely 7 a.m. people, morning people, 7 to 8 a.m., it's just a get together to start to chat some more, share our story ideas. So I'm here. I see my Into the Springs is what it's called, because it's in Yellow Springs. And it's a launch pad for those who are starting out, and some place for those who have been writing quite a while, who kind of want to go back and get a refresher or meet other writers. And that's what that is. Writing groups, as you hear them called, we could do some talking about that. I've been in a lot of personal writing groups where I am sharing my writing. In these cases, in the writer's workshop, there's opportunities. The word workshop means you're workshopping your piece. So there is that angle. On Sunday morning at 7 a.m. for an hour, we sit together. And if someone has something to share that they want to read and get feedback on, there's that opportunity. So, yeah.
I love that. Leslie is Columbus, Ohio. So Leslie, you're close enough to connect with Sandy. And Maria is Springfield.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and she says woohoo to morning people. So yeah, I love it. I love it.
That is great.
So yes, we've got some definitely want to be writers in the group. So yes, I appreciate them being in the group this evening. And Roy, do you want to take your manuscripts to a higher level? Tell us about that.
Okay. Yeah, really. I want to, if I can, I'd like to publish everything that I've written so far. I'm still writing. And I've written perhaps 20 children's books in total. I say, four of them now are published. The others are in various forms, but they're all at least a manuscript. So yeah, I would like to take them as high as I can, get them recognized as far as I possibly can. That's what I would like to do.
Okay, so you are already on Amazon. I'm assuming you already have an author page there showing a little bit about you on Amazon. Yeah. Yeah. So that folks can connect. But how can folks connect with you if they want to learn more about you? How about your website?
Yeah, I have a website. It's www.roybradshaw.co.uk. There's lots of information on there. I put snippets of perhaps the blurb, really, of all of my manuscripts at least are on there, so you can get a flavour of all of the books in the three series. I've done three series. I've done Barley's Biscuit. I've done Mr. B's Busy Bee, and I've done another one called Marty Rye the Mole and his Munificent Monocle. There's a lot of alliteration there, but
I love that. So again, it's roybradshaw.uk.com.
Roybradshaw.co.uk.
Oh, dot co.
It's all the W's. Roy Bradshaw, my name. No dots or anything, just my name. .co.uk.
Very good. Very good. I put that in the chat. So for those of you that are listening in, please make a note of that and visit the website. Go to Amazon and take a look at the books. And yes.
Pretty pictures of me.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And Sandy put her contact information in there. She is the director of Into the Springs Writers Workshop in Yellow Springs. And it's August 4 through 6 at the Park Hotel. So for those of you that are listening, save the date. Put that on your calendar. Now, I am Kathy Binner. I am a passive coach. And one of the things that I teach is how you can write from anywhere in the world and actually make income from it. And we have not launched our course yet or our mastermind yet, but for those of you that are interested, please stay tuned. And you can find me at kathybinner.com. I'll put that also in the chat. And that way, if you want to connect with me to be a part of the course material or to be a part of the mastermind, we'd love to have you. And Sandy is my co-host and I am the host of the Ohio Writers Guild. And again, we are here every month, and this is, am I correct, the second Tuesday? I always have to look at my calendar because I do eight of these a month, and I want to make sure that I don't say it wrong. Yes, we are the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And so please tap in once a month and listen to a new author on how they write and how they've gotten published. And so, Roy, my one question I've been dying to ask you, and I skipped it earlier, is do you write out in longhand or do you write at the keyboard? What is your preferred way to write?
A little bit of both. It depends where I am, because I always have a notebook with me. Sometimes I can sit down on a park bench or in the sunshine and scribble. I prefer to write in pencil, strangely enough, but there you go. if I'm writing longhand. But more often than not, especially in the dark winter nights like it's coming to us now, I'll sit down in front of the fire and just me.
And okay.
I'll be typing away on the... I'm not a touch typist, by the way. So it comes slowly.
Now, I'm guilty sometimes of trying to edit as I'm typing, and so that's probably my biggest problem. Yeah. So that's why when I walk and talk into my Google Doc, it prevents me from editing. I just get the story out, and it seems to flow so much better for me that way. So that's just a little tip that works for me. So now, how old are your sons currently?
I've got two and a half sons. I've got a stepson. He came with the wife at the time. but I brought him up as mine. So, he calls me dad and I call him son. He's 33. My eldest from me is 23. He's called William. The first one's called James. First one for me is called William. And my third one is Thomas. Thomas is in Glasgow University at the moment as we speak.
Ah, very good.
He's got a lot of brain inside of his head.
Okay.
I don't know where he got it from.
Now, any grandchildren yet?
No, not that I know of.
Not that you know. I love that. I love that. Oh, this has been so much fun. Roy, thank you so much for coming on this evening.
You're very welcome. Sorry about the little hitch at the beginning.
Oh no, that's fine.
It happens. Always away.
Yep, it happens. It's it's just life. I was explaining how it happened to me yesterday, even. So it's all good. So I want to say thank you also to Sandy for being on and being my co-host. And I want to say thanks to Leslie and Maria and Sylvia and Tim are in the audience. And if you have any questions for Roy, please let us know, put those in the chat and I'll monitor that here and make sure that we answer any of your questions. Is there anything that you want to ask Roy before we go?
Hey, did the son who got the Happy Meal gift, did he realize what you had done with it and that, you know, the students were writing like stories with it and all?
At the time, he didn't know. He was probably 10 years old at the time. He was going to throw it away, this little, in a plastic bag, little bee, little fluffy toy bee, he's going to throw it away.
Yeah.
And I said, hang on, I've paid for that. So I took it to school with me and had a bit of fun. No, he didn't know, but now he proofreads for me. He's very active in what I'm doing. He's interested in what I'm doing.
Okay. And he may want some of the proceeds of those sales, because if it wasn't for his rejection of the little gift, you know,
well, he isn't getting any.
That's too funny. Tim has just made a comment. He said, I've heard, this is from Tim. He said, I've heard the children's book writing game is pretty cutthroat. Have you found that's the case?
Well, I am finding that's the case. Yeah. I haven't found yet, but it's a full market, put it that way. But hey ho, if you don't try, you'll never know. So, you know, I'm having a go basically. And that's that.
Okay, Marie had a comment. She said, you mentioned dreams being an inspiration. Is sleep something you prioritize for your creativity and writing?
Sometimes I don't always dream. But sometimes, you know, I'll wake up and you get that sort of afterthought of a dream that's happened. And I'll sort of grasp that as much as quickly as I can and jot down what's going on. A lot of that it turns into poetry. That turns into poetry for me. I've written probably 60, 70 poems, and a lot of them come from dreams.
Now, have you published your poetry or is that in the plans?
I haven't got it in plans at the minute, no. I've recited some of it on the radio on the BBC. We have a power station in Ironbridge that makes electricity. Well, it did, but they blew it up. It was defunct, so they blew up the big cooling towers, you know. And I wrote a poem about that event, you know. And I called it the Rose Towers. You know, there's four of them. They blew them up, and the iconic part was that they use electricity to blow it up. And it's electricity power station, you know, it's made electricity all of its life. And the ironic part was that it was an electric charge into explosives that destroyed it, you know. So I turned it into a poem.
Yeah.
Interesting. What is Roy's process for review of his manuscript? Does he have editors and others who assist with reviewing his work before publishing?
Yeah, I have. I employ a professional editor. I edit myself 100 times, just like every writer does, and get it to the best that I possibly can. But it has to go into some fresh eyes. It has to go to somebody to look at it. You know, I speak to my friends and whatever, but you know, I always want a professional editor to have a look at it. Yeah. Unfortunately, my new publisher has been an editor all of his life, so a dual role there. So you know, that's a good thing for me.
Good, because he looks at it with that professional eye when he reads your work. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's how it was with my publisher, is that she also is an editor. And so she was able to, in that one package price, I got the publishing, the editing, everything was all included. So yes, I love that.
Yeah.
Any other questions? I don't see any other questions coming in. Again, Roy, thank you so much for being with us this evening. This has been a lot of fun. I love hearing about the children's books and how you got started. I love that. I imagine your family is pretty proud of you being a published author.
Yeah. I'm proud of them as well. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. How nice. How nice. And again, thanks to Sandy for being my co-host, and thanks to all of you for being on this evening. And again, tap in the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. and we will see everyone next month.
Yes. Take well. Thank you. Have very a good much. Writing month. Thank you. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Sandy.
Bye, Roy. Bye, Kathy.
Bye-bye.